We here are gathered to speak about inspiring our Talmidim. I guess if we're to grab the problem at its root, if we're not inspired, Talmidim are not inspired. All of us who went into Chinuch because we had been inspired. That's what got us to here. We had learned with great Cheshik, and now as the years go on, and we're teaching day in, day out, we're teaching a lot of the same material. Samar Beim here probably teach El Metzias for decades. Others teach, even if they teach El Mesechtes, there's a cycle, and that some teaching sort of becomes rote. And it's something which takes a toll on a person. It takes a toll on a person in terms of his freshness, his cheshik, and that gets passed on to Talmidim. And obviously, no matter how energetic we try to push out to sort of pump up this year energetically, but at the end of the day, it just it's hard to fool Talmidim. So we need to really address the issue at a much, much stronger level in terms of, it's not the problem of how to convey inspiration, it's not the problem how to get them to be inspired. The problem really is, how do we keep doing things again and again and again and be fresh, be invigorated? I really would like to look at the problem as being, quote unquote, in the system itself, in the Torah itself. And the problem is not a mikra, it's not something that sort of happens to be because of some weakness. We really need to take a look and get a sense of what is the Torah. If we had been Chas v'Shalom reform people, so we'd have no problem. Every 5 years, every 10 years, there's a new Shacharuch, a new Torah, a new God, no God. Everything changes every few years, and it's great. It's hard to recognize what you learned 50 years ago for sure is no longer Teres Emes, and 40 years ago and 30 years ago. So that's not, that would be a problem. The problem is we have a Shacharuch. Shacharuch is a constant. And Teres is a constant. So one of these Zayis Vemuna is Zayis HaTeres Lotei Muchlefes. We say about Kodesh Baruch Hu V'loi Ben Adam Ki Nachim. Ani Hashem Leshenisi, and so on. We talk about Mesiris and Derech HaMesura Lanu. Even in terms of how to express things, we have a klal in the Gemara, and halacha chayav lomer l'shem Rambam. If a person takes a look on the inyanim of halacha, the Rif brings the Gemara kimat b'lashaynai. Obviously, where he feels to get halacha, but he no surprise, he quotes the Gemara. The Rambam quotes the lashon of the Gemara, uses the case of the Gemara, pretty much adapts the Gemara. The Shacharuch quotes the Rambam, unless he's really disagreeing with him, and so on. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha quotes the Magen Avraham, the Taz. This is a constant. So the Chayav Lomer L'Shem Rambam and the repeating and the keeping the Torah, that's on the one hand. So on the one hand, Torah has in it the element of being a constant and an immutable constant, and that's something that is part and parcel of Torah. On the other hand, we say a chiddush a tzivui b'chol yoyim yubeinach kichadoshes. The Torah has to be like a new, it has to be a chiddush. Every morning we wake up and we say mechadosh b'tuvah b'chol yoyim tamid. Every day is a new day. Which means not just that we're just kind of refreshed and feel good, every day has chodesh to it. The Tikkun Ezeah says, it's in Tikkun Ezeah, Tikkun Chof Beis, it says, Barakadish Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, Ulevushov di Yelovish Bitzafra Lelovish Beramsa, Ulevushov di Lovish Biyoimado Lelovish Biyoimatinyona. Levushim that a Kadish Baruch Hu wears, dons, in the morning, he doesn't don in the evening, and that he wears one day, he doesn't wear another day. In other words, the Baal Tanya says, it's others that the chiluke zmanim, it's not the pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol dons different begodim, which means different hanhagas every day. It means that the chiluke zmanim, the shinu zman, is the result of a shinu hanhaga. In other words, shinuyim start at the root, and that's hanhagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are constantly changing. And the fact that the hanhagas change, they create in this world, they're expressed as chiluke zmanim. So change is at the heart of the system. So we have here really two poles of almost total opposites in describing the reality of Torah in this world, of Hashem Baruch's role in this world. On the one hand, we have Ani Hashem Moshe Nisi. On the other hand, we have to be God in many ways. This day doesn't wear this day. This in the morning doesn't wear the evening. It's always, always changing. And Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Klal Yisrael, that's Kleichad, is Chachos and Chiddush. How do we reconcile the two Chalokim, the two descriptions, almost opposite descriptions of Torah? And Be'etzem, if you think about it, that's going to be the heart of our problem. To keep the fidelity to Torah, that is our understanding of what Torah is, and yet do it always as if it would be new. When it says Yir Be'enecha Kechadoshes, we need to ask ourselves, in what sense is it Kechadoshes? What does it mean it should be like new? How is something that I've chewed over already dozens of times become new to me? So we're going to need to understand a rather deep Indian over here, and understand it, understand a certain sheirish, which is an amkustik sheirish, but it's going to give us a key for understanding the paradox of how these two conflicting descriptions coincide. There's a sefer called Avodas HaKodesh. It's written by Meir Gabay, who was a sort of ruchnistik rebbe of the Maral. Gemara considers him a rebbe based in Kabbalah, and wasn't actually much before him, but he wrote a sefer called Avodas HaKodesh, a very, very fundamental work. It's sort of with the sodas from Pnim. It's not really a Kabbalah sefer, but it's more, I guess, sort of philosophical, maybe. It's built on the sodas of Pnim, but it's expressed in Lashonis that are not Kabbalah. And he brings there one of his early prokim, a yesod from Rabbi Yitzchak Saginor, who was a rebbe at Rebbe Ramban in Kabbalah, one of the early Kabbalah, that when asked to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose in creating this world, in other words, what did this world give? What did this world produce, make, give that was not there before, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he responds with the following formula. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bilti gvul. Is bilti gvul, bilti tachlis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no definition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not finite in any way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endless, is Ein Sof. The one thing that seems to be the result of that is that kaviyochel, one would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not express himself from within a world that is finite. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a finite world within which one could express an infinite amount of things. Let's take a little bit of a silly picture, but it'll help us picture it. A car has amount of space in it. Sometimes a car looks smaller than it actually is, and instead of And instead of filling up, instead of being able only to hold 6 people, it could actually hold 8 people. It could hold 10 people. That's a reasonable Metzius. You can also squish people in, and you could possibly squish 12 people. So you have a car that looks like it's supposed to hold 6. It holds 8, and you can squish 12 people in. That's it. I mean, even if you stack them up like baddies, there's a gvul. Anybody who's been to a circus or who's heard they have the car with the infinite amount of clowns coming out. The car sits down at the car parks itself at a place in the middle of the circus. Out walk 4 clowns and 4 more clowns and 4 more clowns and b'chulu b'chulu b'chulu, and you get a sort of a sense as if the car has an infinite amount of clowns in it, and that's one of circus stuff. For those of you who couldn't figure it out or haven't seen it, there's a trapdoor on the floor, and there's a trapdoor on the car, and the mechabel yonim with tachtonim, and instead of al yonim going to tachtonim, tachtonim counts for al yonim, and you get clowns, many, 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 many clowns. That's how it's done. But there's a certain picture of a finite car. It's a box. And there are people pouring out of it endlessly, and it's kind of what's happening over here. That was the Sheirish of the Bria, that the Bria itself is finite. And let's take an example of something that we, a little closer to home, and we can get a sense of it. A person's hand, is a certain size. You looking at the size of the person's hand, he will be able to lift up X. It might be a little stronger than you anticipate, but by looking at a person's size of his back, of his hands, of his feet, the size will be able to tell you a reasonable estimate how much a person can lift and carry and so on. What you don't have is in the brain. Looking at the size of the brain, one has no indication of how much information is there, and how much power of computation is there. It seems quite endless. And as if we have a problem keeping stuff in our memories, it's not because the memory box is too small. The great geniuses don't have an appreciably greater amount of material there. It's some sort of koach. The mind that is attached to the brain, so to speak, that sort of is the content of the brain, is much, much bigger, quote unquote, than the brain itself. It's anchored in the brain, but it seems greater to us. So we have in the big, big picture, Akash Baruch Hu created a world that is finite, limited, clearly defined, and the purpose of it was that his quote-unquote infinite, his infinite, express itself from within the finite. So the Ein Sof Akash Baruch Hu is not only expressed in the Ein Sof before creation, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a little bubble of creation, which is Sof and has Gvulos, from within there also can emanate the divine spirit of Ein Sof. That's how he describes the Bria. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's most elementary building block in this world was Gvulus that contained the Ein Sof. In other words, Sof is always describing the Gvulus, and that has to remain that way. It's part and parcel of what the Bria is meant to be. And Ein Sof is the within it. If we try to be a little more specific in the world of mitzvahs, where is it that we meet up with these two things? We're going to have to say the following. We said before, Zayis HaTorah Lo Tehiyeh Mukhlefes. There is no new Torah, there is no Chiddush. A lulav and esrig are lulav and esrig for thousands of years. The same is with matzah, and tefillin, and tzitzis. There's one area, and if a person adds a mitzvah or takes away a mitzvah, he's over bal teisiv bal tigra. The one place that the word chiddush appropriately is used in the context of Torah mitzvahs is chiddush Torah, and the chiddush Torah are good, even though they're called chiddush. In chiddush Torah, it says in Chazal that kol ma she'talmid ot vasik ozim chadish was given to Moshe. What does that mean? So there's an understanding ki'ilu, the shtickel Torah that I said last week, that Moshe Rabbeinu also heard that at Sinai. Maybe I'm not a Talmud Vasek, but it means ki'ilu Moshe knew also shtickel Torah. That's not pshat. The pshat is within the confines of Torah, which is from Bereishis L'Ein Kol Yisrael. And the Torah Shebaal Peh that's given associated with it, that's the box of the finite. That's the gvul. The Torah itself, the content of Torah, is the bilti bal gvul. It's the insoif that expresses itself through it. So in the same inyanim, we don't change the Torah, but we keep drawing new and new dehers. We've been learning Torah for thousands of years, and there is not an end for Sfarim that are written. The Rambam was a Chiddush, the Ramban was a Chiddush, Tosfos was a Chiddush, the Kiveg is a Chiddush, the Vilna Gaon, and all Reb Chaim Brisker, all of those were Chiddushim. They were all in the same sugya in Bava Basra and Bava Metzia. The Gemara didn't change in Bava Metzia and Bava Basra. The understanding, the Asha Alkanes, the Chiddush came from that same sugya. So we have a structure that is most keenly expressed in the world of in the world of Torah, where you have chiddush within a davar kayam. Rav Huttner writes in a place, in a few places actually, he explains something very, very fascinating. He says that the it says in Gemara, like the Torah sometimes repeats a parasha, and it says, why would the Torah want to repeat the parasha? In order to teach us a chiddush, something, a davar chadash. To which the question obviously is, I mean, that's great, but if I tell you something and then I need to add something to you, I'm not going to repeat everything I said. So let's say I'm giving you directions how to get someplace, and those directions take 10 minutes to give over, then I remember something, I'll say, oh, and by the way, right before that last stop, make sure the road is clear because it's a dangerous road, and then proceed to make the left, whatever. That's what I would say. I wouldn't start from all over again from the beginning, and mechazer, it's absurd. So why does the Torah do this anyway? Why does it repeat an entire parasha just for one for those Chadish book? And Huttner writes that a person who's a bardas understands that the Dover Shemis Chadish Boy creates an entirely new parasha. One Nekud of Chiddush gives us an entirely new perspective on everything. It's like sometimes you can add a word to a change a word, a certain sentence to an existing letter, and everything, and the whole letter changes, and everything, the meaning of the letter is something very, very different. So the chiddush in Torah allows for the same material, quote unquote, to have different meaning, new meanings, and so on. We find one more area in Torah where you find something similar to it, I think, is in Kedusha Zman. We saw before the Tikkun Isaiah that says that the Bgodim that is Lavish Beramsh is not Lavish Tzafran, the Bgodim that is Lavish Yemedo is not Lavish Yema Achra. We find two Kedushas in Zman. And they're very different. We find the Kedusha of Shabbos, which is Kviya V'Kayma, and we find the Kedushas Yom Tov, which is Achodesh Zalachem. It's a Chiddush. We don't know which day it'll be. We can't predict in advance which day it'll be. It's Mischadesh each time. And Shabbos, we're Mekabel Shabbos. Shabbos is there, and we greet it. The Yom Tov, we make Yom Tov. So, within the framework of Zman itself, which is a very ruchniistic dimension of the Bria, we have both in Yonim. We have one cycle of Zman, it is the Shemesh, and in that cycle of Zman, the Kvi is a Shelet, and that's why Shabbos is Kvi Bekaima. There's no Chidushim in Shabbos. Shabbos is fixed, that's it. And then we have a second dimension of Zman, which is Chodesh, and that's Ischachus, and that varies, that fluctuates. We'll note once again that in the relationship, the Shemesh is the larger relationship, it's the Bach, so to speak. The Levan is within the Shemesh, it's within the solar system. The Zman of Shemesh, which is a year, is greater than the Zman of the Levana. It includes it. The oil of the Levana comes from the Shemesh, it's the Ve'er from Shemesh. So within a system that's very fixed, there is a constant flicker of Chiddush, of the unexpected, the unpredictable, the new. That is the same type of relationship as the Chutz of Torah and the Pnim of Torah, the Chutz of Mitzvahs and the Pnim and so on. What does it mean for us? In Torah, there is, in Torah and to some degree in Mitzvahs, the Chitzoni Shaboy is always fixed. But the Pnim, which is the understanding of it, changes. And a person can keep finding Chiddush and Ischachus besides understanding. Unfortunately, and this I understand very strongly the pressures of time and the pressures of preparing, and we'd like to have our lessons prepared, now shiurim prepared, and down to the last nekuda, and we want to have it frozen so that we don't have to keep preparing. I understand that, but then we have a problem. My Rebbe Reb Nachum, who was a Goyen Olam, had a Shtickel Torah he wrote on Pigel in Atvuna, which was an extraordinarily deep Shtickel Torah and a very difficult Shtickel. There was a Tkufa when he said Chaburis. There were a few Tkufas of Chaburis on Kachin and Yeshiva. And once when I was learning Kachin, I was bringing a light, there was a Chabura on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock in Kachim, in Zvachim. I don't think he light-minded much, I'm not sure about the wives, but that was it. So everybody was waiting for the Shir on Pigel to figure out what it was. He said a Shir on Pigel. He said a much lighter Tzugang, not the Tzugang he used, a different Tzugang that was easier. And I was disappointed, somebody went over it and said, like, why didn't the Rebbe say Shtickle, like, why did the Rebbe say that shtickle there? So he said, I learned the sugya now, and I don't understand it now that way. I don't understand that sugya to be that. That's not what it seems to be. Shiurim, a Rebbe teaching Talmidim is not canned, like, I have it down. I can say the shit. He could have said the shit. No problem saying it. He remembered it, and then he could, you know, kind of knock it off. It wasn't, didn't have any problem with that. But that's not how he's learning it today. This wasn't today's approach to Sugya. So the first thing is to teach ourselves to learn. To teach ourselves to learn over something, and to try to learn it with new pairs of eyes. Somebody once told me an interesting anecdote that his father was a Yidah Yedei Sefer, a year ago, very fine Yid, but his father would every year learn through Chumash with a different farish. It's something, it allows you to get a different look at it. So if you learn with a different Rishon, different Acher, and a different Sugan, tapes on somebody else, so on the one hand it makes life more difficult, but on the other hand you have holuchias. It also means undertaking a new halakim of Torah so that you're able to get that. One of the Yonim at Revolver that evokes tremendous admiration and chshivas is he was a Bal Musa, he was a Talmud of the Rebbe Yeruchim, he had his Derech, he had his Mahalach, he wrote a Sefer, he gave Vaden, he was Yeruchim's Talmud. At the age of 60 approximately, he heard a footnote for the first time. At age of 60, most people write memoirs and wrap up their life's accomplishments. Nobody is at 60 sitting down to discover America. Maybe Florida, but not America. There's nothing he's open to. Especially if it's, you know, anytime you open something new means you've something about it. Revolver heard it, Revolver said, this is something that I want to learn, this is something I want to understand. He would sit at the Mamarim like a kid, you know, listening and you know, sort of absorbing it. He then wrote a second chelik of Al Yeshua, and he writes in that sefer that if anybody feels the difference in this sefer over the first sefer, you should know that it's the result of my having met a giant of a person whom the world will yet get to know and understand, and so on and so forth. But that type of chiddush meant that openness to Luchal Ketayra meant that he wasn't stale, because he was rethinking it, re-understanding it, and so on. Even in the world of Maisa Mitzvahs, the very famous Chazal, it says that the Karban is at the Nasiyah. The Torah goes through painstakingly every single Nasi and so on and so forth, and the Medrash says that each carbon, the Pasuk lists every carbon as being exactly the same. You know, it's mind-numbing sameness. Chazal explained the remes in each carbon to be different for each shavit, in line with something of the Teichon of Shavit. So that means that maisim that are similar, and this is the world of maisa mitzvahs, change because of the kavanah you put in, the understanding you put in, so on. So when a person comes, especially to the tekufis of the Maisa Mitzvahs of Zmanim, which are easier because, I mean, nobody's going to, when you sit down to learn new kavanahs and film, new understanding of tzitzit, it's not, just there's no particular time, but Pesach, Sukkot, Hanukkah, Purim, and the Avelos, and so on, a person picks another sefer, another Inyan, another Tsugan, and learns it, that creates in his mind a deeper understanding and more chiddush. So I guess if we're to ask ourselves, the need to inspire Talmidim starts with the need to inspire ourselves. What we call inspire means chiddush. We have a built-in paradox. Torah demands both in its kiyum and in certain and mitzad our understanding of what its mitzvahs, what its tenets are, and what its commandments are, it is very, very rigorous and immutable. That's one of the foundations of how we understand what Torah is. On the other hand, Torah is something that needs chiddush. The way it changes is modeled on the etzem tachlos abriya, which is mibayis mibachutz. There's the teichin, and there is the shell. The shell is characterized by it being bal gvul, and therefore its gvulas are immutable. Just like the laws of nature are immutable, and the nisim come through that, just like everything else is kind of very firm to be, and yet there's shinui mitzad the zman, mitzad the teichen in the bria. Mitzvahs and Torah, their shell is fixed, and their content is always being mischadish, or can be mischadish. The avoda of a rebbe is he needs to keep stoking chiddush in himself in order to be effective with talmidim. If he stops growing, the water becomes stale, and no matter with how much gusto you serve up stale water, it's stale. If for you it's the umpteenth time you're saying it, and you've lost cheshek in it, no matter how much you pretend that it's full of, you know, the schmack and this and that, it's not. The only guarantee for something to be refreshing is if it's fresh to you. And that's the sort of job of us as Rebbeim, is to constantly grow. It means we need to set aside, just like everyone sets aside time to plan lessons and to prepare, we understand we need that, we need for this also. I remember I had a Rebbe once who told me when he prepares a shmooze, he used to listen to tapes. He said, I'm not listening to my tapes or someone else's tapes to repeat stuff. He said, I need it to be ma'ur me. And once I'm this ayur, I can, then I start saying my own. That's the mahalach. I want to, so we need to find new chalke Torah. We need to find new perspectives. There's so many different, it's not only so many different fronts, so many different mahalchim, so many different nekudas, so many different perspectives. If we make that effort each time to learn different inyanim and different perspectives on inyanim, we will have the freshness. I want to finish with the new havana that I have, and that was earlier to about the Chazal says lalita ter lo ichle man. So the pasuk pshat that we have here is, you know, that they didn't have any dagas parnasa. Kadosh Baruch was mesapik them their parnasa and so on. I think there's a deeper avon in it. Karav l'dvarim that we said. The man mitzad its external quantity and quality was the same every single day. It was a zera. It was lavan. It was echramav echramamit. You had exactly the same amount, and it was fixed how much each person got and what it looked like. No change whatsoever. The tam changed infinitely. You could get as many taimim as you want at the same month. So when a person today doesn't want to sit and eat, I don't know, cornflakes for the rest of his life, so he goes shopping. And he looks for things that look big and red and small and soft and fluffy and crispy and all those things. That's how we vary our diet. The balei man, the oichlei man, what they needed in order not to have a monotonous diet, they needed to have a different tam that they could evoke always. It was going to be the same man, the same box of man, but the tam in it could be every day a different tam. So the literal chaman means people who are looking to have the same bavli and the same Shas and Shulchan Aruch and Rambam in front of them, and be able every time they open it up to be Tayyim and Utama. If we'll be Achliman, then our children will be Yoinik, those timing through the Cholobah, it says. It should help. It's a topic that's it's not just a teaching technique that we're talking about. We're talking about the life of a Marvitz Torah, and a person who lives in Torah's life. It's a life that we started with a tremendous desirous, and then sort of it becomes rote, and sort of takes away that time, the understanding of how to approach it, to hold on to the consistency of the chitzonis together, and to be trained the new timing constantly. That's the oichliman, and we should be zeichet to have that is chatshus, and we should be zeichet to give over to our talmidim, to our children, with that koyach of chiddush that we have.